Kia ora and welcome to Airman's Podcast, episode 241. Today is Friday, November 19, 2010. I have not been myself the past couple of weeks or so, and I'll talk about that first today. I have a few minor updates on some things going on, mostly actually to deal with stuff that I do, so it must be very special. And then I have a plethora, a cornucopia of phone messages, and that will wrap it up for today. But first, you may remember my mentioning the fact that my big monthly work project last month didn't go all that well. That actually I made a lot of errors in the sense that I wasn't as well organized as I should have been, and I promised myself that I was going to be better this month. Well, I was. I had all my ducks lined up in a row, and I, you know, was nose to the grindstone and all that sort of thing, and I got through it in good order. I was in really good shape. And then there were last-minute changes to the project. They started on Tuesday. Tuesday night, I got an email that there were some changes. So I held off, and then I got another email around midday on Wednesday saying there were further changes. Fortunately, I hadn't started it yet. I was actually listening to the election returns, and I wasn't really in a mood to do any work anyway. But it ended up meaning that I had a heck of a lot of work to do the second half of the week, and it ended up being just like any other month as far as that goes. But I was in a better position. The stuff that I could control, I had done a much better job of having under control. I started out in a much better position, and I'm going to do that again for this coming month, December. And that is my last work project for the year. As a matter of fact, it's the last one until February. It doesn't happen in January. So that's good. That means I have some time off and I can sort some things out. Nigel will be off from Christmas Eve until, I don't know, middle of January, I guess it is. He's taking 3 weeks off. And of course, we have four statutory holidays in that mix. So I'm going to be spending time with him. We'll be doing stuff. I may not be recording a whole lot during that time. We'll see how things go. But at the very least, I will have time to just kind of veg out. And that's always a nice thing. We think we're having Christmas at our house this year, actually, speaking of Christmas, but I digress. Now, very often in the past, when I've had these big work projects, I get very stressed out and I end up having a gout attack the week after. Now, that hasn't actually been consistently true, especially if things are under control as they were this month. And I had no reason to think that anything was amiss this month. Well, over the past weekend, we celebrated the birthday of my brother-in-law, Nigel's brother, who was staying with us at the time. And we forgot to fill up the gas bottle for the barbecue. Well, we've got a big one that we keep out back in case we run out of gas for the hot water heater, you know, sort of a backup. And so we dragged it around. We used that for the barbecue. It's the same fittings. And that was great. But Nigel said, we don't want to leave it in the sun. Should put it back out in the courtyard by the real gas bottles. And so he'd gone to work, and so I unhooked it, and I hauled it through the house. And it's really heavy, but I think it's 12 kgs, I think. But, you know, I was managing just fine. I got it there, maybe hurting my back just a little bit because I should have put it down occasionally. Got it to the garage door, opened the garage door, the door, not the overhead door. Walked out and banged my knee hard into the door frame. I mean, really hard, the kind that makes you say unpleasant words. And I was not a happy camper because I knew that that was likely going to cause a gout attack. The thing about gout that a lot of people don't know is that if you have any trauma to a joint like that, like you bang your knee really hard or you stub your toe really hard or something like that, you can very easily cause a gout attack in that joint. And that's exactly what happened. Monday wasn't so bad because that was the day of the injury, and I took Nigel's mom out for lunch. And she went home on Tuesday, and she stopped by here on her way home. And even by then, I was starting to feel a bit sore. But at that point, you know, you just can't tell and think, maybe it's just the injury, and maybe it's all going to be okay, even though I knew better. By Wednesday, my knee was quite painful and was starting to swell up, as is typical of a gout attack. And by Thursday, I really couldn't walk on it. And Friday and Saturday and Sunday, Nigel and I decided we were going to backing up a bit, we went out on Saturday for something, and I could barely get my leg into the car because I couldn't bend my knee, and I had to, like, practically climb into the back seat in order to pull my leg in. But then Sunday, I did the show with Nigel, the Third Colony, and we decided we'd go out for dinner afterwards, and my knee was already better by that. I could at least bend it by that stage. Still had to kind of, you know, pull myself further into the car in order to drag my leg up, but I could bend my knee. And this, you know, this is really progress and a relatively quick resolution of the incident. Taking a lot of Nerfin helps because it's an anti-inflammatory. So we went out to dinner, which, by the way, we rarely do. We went to a place here not far from the house called Blitza Pizza, which is actually a Greek restaurant, which, Greek-owned, mostly Greek dishes, but it has pizzas and things like that, hence the name. And it's sort of a Mediterranean restaurant more than Greek or Italian or anything like that. But so we went there. It's really casual, and there's not much open on a Sunday night, as we found out. So we went there, and we wanted to go to the Japanese restaurant around the corner, but they're closed on Sundays. So anyway, we had a nice dinner, but when I was crossing the crosswalk from where we parked the car to get to the restaurant, I don't know if my foot went into a little pothole in the crosswalk or whatever, but I somehow twisted my ankle a little bit. I landed funny, because when a gout attack is starting to go, it's the joint is often a little bit, especially a knee, is a little bit unsteady, and so you can very easily kind of have it suddenly open up on you. So we went, had a nice dinner, and we left, and the same thing happened on the way back. And the next day, of course, my ankle was affected. And it may have been anyway. It might have been that it was going to happen anyway, but I think I probably injured it a bit on that little walk. And so this is on Monday, and it hurt quite a lot. I was using my crutch. And then it started to get better, and by the time I went to bed Tuesday, it was better. Wednesday morning started a little bit rough, but it got better as the day went on. And Thursday, however, I got up, and it was actually the top of my foot, not the ankle, but I mean, that's all connected nerve-wise, was really quite sore, but I was able to walk on it without using my crutch. And then, not long into the morning, because Nigel leaves the house about 7:30, it must have been about 8 or maybe a little bit after, I started feeling really bad in my foot. So I went and got my crutch because I knew I was going to have trouble walking. And then suddenly remembered that the gas bottles I mentioned before were being exchanged that day. And they were arriving. This is about 9, I guess, a little bit after. So I had to run out and open up the gates so that they could deliver the gas bottles, it's difficult to run when you've got a bad leg and a crutch. But I did it. I managed. So they did that. And then afterwards, I just felt really, really bad. And so I took a couple Panadine and went to bed for a couple of hours. And that did help the pain. It made the pain go away. But, of course, I felt a bit dopey afterwards because Panadine has codeine in it. And so then, you know, I just sort of kind of came around. And it eventually did get a little bit better, and I didn't have to use the crutch so much. And today, again, I've been fine. So I think it's finally passing as long as I don't hit any joints anymore. Now, the thing about a gout attack that people who don't have it also probably don't know is that when there's an attack going on, the victim feels like they've got the flu, or very often will feel like they've got the flu, a bit feverish and a bit achy and just under the weather. And so it makes me not want to do much of anything when I have one of these attacks going on, apart from any pain or discomfort or maybe just even a difficulty getting around. There's this feeling of having flu. And so this week has not been a good week for me. Last week wasn't so hot either for largely the same reason, because of various little attacks going on. And I'm hoping that this is the end of it, because I really want to get back to walking again and losing weight and blah, 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 blah. But I can't do that. I can't start going on walks to lose weight and to exercise until I can actually, you know, like walk. So it's been a mission. A real mission getting through these past 2 weeks, or 3 weeks if you actually want to count my work week as well. Now, that sort of leads me to the general topic of updates, because there have been some behind-the-scenes changes going on, things you wouldn't necessarily know about. Well, first, let me talk about a visible one. I've been working on some changes to my blog, amrens.blogspot.com, and the most notable is that I moved the links for podcasts and blogs to a separate page, which is called, oddly enough, Links. The idea being I'm trying to clean up and streamline my blog to make it easier for people to read things and to find the topics they're interested in, all that sort of stuff. So that's all very well and good, but it's a bit of a, not a learning curve exactly, because I know far more, I know far better what I'm doing now than I did when I started the blog in 2006. But still, you know, it's little bits and pieces that need to be tended to. And then, of course, the next thing is I have to turn my sights to my podcast site, which is also desperately in need of updating. I realized yesterday, I think it was, that I still haven't relinked all of the audio files for the podcast. So it doesn't, the older ones still aren't available. And I went, oops. So hopefully I'll get to that this weekend because we're not going to be doing very much. And so I've got these little things for me going on in the background, which is which were good things to work on when I just wanted to sit around and rest my leg. So, you know, there was a kind of an ulterior motive for doing that. But I've also done something just yesterday that I have never done before. And that is I've ordered Dead Tree books from Amazon. Now, you might be thinking, why the heck would you do that? Don't you have bookstores down there? Well, of course we have bookstores in New Zealand. But books tend to be very expensive here, as any American expat will tell you. The main reason, I think, is that the market is so small. And they just have to mark the books up quite a lot in order to recover the shipping costs. Because, you know, books aren't exactly light. Some of our books come from Australia. They're printed in Australia. And those tend to be a bit cheaper. But, I mean, they're still very often at least 40% higher, if not 50% or even more, higher than you would pay for the same book in the U.S., you know, converting dollars and so on. So in this particular case, the books that I was getting were, in some cases, far more than half the price that we would pay, far less than half the price that we would pay here. And I made a mistake, because I haven't ordered before, and I chose the priority shipping because I misread how much it was. It was $56. And so I ended up spending a lot more than I intended. About a third of the whole price that I paid was shipping. Well, I'll learn. I see. You learn these things. But I did want to kind of see how long it takes under priority shipping. Now, I did this on, what day was this? This was day before yesterday, my time, which would have been, what was that in the U.S.? That would have been Wednesday in the U.S. as well, early hours of Wednesday morning in the U.S. And the order shipped about 24 hours later. It shipped in the wee small hours of Thursday in the U.S., Thursday evening here. And it says it will be delivered on December 3rd. That's the expected date. So I'm sort of tracking just to see kind of what happens and how long it takes. Now, I've had many friends who have ordered from Amazon in the past, and they've just raved about how good the service is and how it gets you much faster than you would expect. I don't know that they've chosen a priority shipping, either by accident or on purpose, but we'll see. But yes, it's sort of an experience. Now, I have in the past, and still do, get the Kindle edition of books from Amazon, and I don't have a Kindle. I actually read it either on Kindle for Mac or Kindle for iPod Touch. And eventually when I have an iPad, I'll read it on that. But still, the ability to buy books is really handy because the iBooks in New Zealand has, as I understand it, has nothing in it but free books. Now, I don't know that for a fact because my iPod is too old to download the iBooks software, so I can't check it myself. But that's what I've read in the paper anyway, that the iBooks stuff in the New Zealand store is really limited. But yes, so I have gotten the Kindle edition, and usually, well, as you probably know, the Kindle edition is usually less expensive than the printed edition, well, it should be, sometimes dramatically cheaper, but it's also considerably cheaper than a Dead Tree book here in New Zealand would be, because not only is the paper book is cheaper to start out with, and so the electronic one being cheaper still means it's a fraction of the cost of the book here in New Zealand. There aren't that many places that sell electronic books, and those that do, it's still more expensive than buying it directly from Amazon. So, that's my recent adventure, and I will report on how long it eventually takes for this order to arrive, and it'll be interesting to see. Now, among the things that I haven't, among the changes going on in the background are something I can't quite put my finger on what's going on. And that is that ever since the elections, I've been just sort of meh about politics. I know that sounds really weird, but it's true. I mentioned this on the live show last week. I just am not that into it at the moment. I mean, I've just yesterday recorded a podcast with Jason Two Political podcast with Jason. And that was fun and that was interesting, but I can't really bring myself to blog about it to blog about politics in any great detail. Just a couple things might catch my eye every now and then, but I just don't, I'm not quite as, focused on it as I have been in the past. Now, I don't know if this is a temporary thing because I'm just burned out from the elections or if it's a permanent whatever. I do know that, and I will be honest, that I was deeply disappointed in my American homeland for having voted the Republicans back into the House. But, these things happen, swings and roundabouts. And I don't know if it's that or if it's just that I'm kind of about politics in general. I don't know. But we'll see how this goes in, as things go on. Okay, it's been a few minutes. You wouldn't know that because I just hit pause. But I was in the middle of a sentence, and Jake started barking, and I had to go see what he was barking about. Turns out it was nothing. Somebody was visiting the neighbor, I think. From a distance, he looked rather cute, too. But anyway, be that as it may. Now, I haven't been updating a whole lot of New Zealand news lately, because, quite frankly, not all that much has been interesting me. It's the same sort of meh going on, I think. I haven't even been blogging very much about what's going on in the New Zealand news, because there just isn't that much that catches my eye. One of the things that I do is when I see an article that interests me or that I think I want to talk about on the podcast, I print it out to a PDF, and then I file that in folders so that I can call it up and mention it on the podcast, which is the closest I come to doing an outline, as you know. However, there the last article that is in there, the most recent article that's in there, is about Ali Ma, who I mentioned on the last show. And that's nothing since. So there you go. Not that much going on that I find interesting. I will just say in passing that there was a heritage building that was torn down in Auckland last night. It was a hotel that was built in the 1880s, and it was being converted into an upmarket brothel. It's right near the casino, and so they thought it was a good location. And I would suspect that the construction company did something they shouldn't have done, because all of a sudden these massive cracks started appearing in these two annexes that were built to the sides. In the second one was like 1912 or 1920 or something like that, and the first one was like 1890 or thereabouts. But what I don't understand about this, and I hope to find out for myself, if not to share, I don't understand why the entire heritage building was torn down if the problem was in the annexes. Because the building itself seemed to be structurally sound, and I don't know what the rush was to tear that down if it's just these side buildings. So I don't know. But it is a real shame because Auckland doesn't have a whole lot of heritage architecture left. I've posted some pictures to Flickr. Actually, I think I might have blogged about it as well, about how very often what they'll do is they'll tear down an old building, but they'll leave the facade and then build a brand new building behind it, which is kind of a half-assed way of doing it. I mean, sure, from the streetscape, it looks like it has for 50, 7,500 years or whatever. But the reality is that the heritage building itself is gone. Now, sometimes just because a building's old doesn't mean it's worth having. But when in a city that has lost so much of its heritage in this rush to tear down and build new, it's really a shame to lose one, particularly one that was quite nice. Now, what I remember mostly about that building is it used to be called the Palace, and it was a booze barn, basically, and it was open 24 hours. And I remember getting into the city on a bus in a cold winter's morning when it's gray and not very light because it's still early, and seeing the bright blue sign is shaped like a beer bottle and said Palace on it, Palace Hotel or something, I don't remember, in the night. And I thought, how can those people even think about drinking at this time of the morning? I was still needing coffee at that stage. But anyway, yeah, and it was really sad. But it was leading people to joke about how Auckland is so efficient it doesn't need an earthquake for its heritage buildings to fall down. But be that as it may. Right, now I'm going to go on to the comments, starting with those phone messages. And the situation is this. I have a phone comment line, 206-666-5172, which is from k7.net. And it's a free phone number that anybody can use. And a lot of podcasters over the years have used it as a phone number for the comment line. And I have two. Now, the first one that I had, you may remember, I lost one December. I think it was last year before. I don't remember. Because it wasn't nobody had left a message and I didn't notice. Now, the reason I've got it, basically, is just in case somebody does want to leave a phone comment or to reach me or whatever it might be, there's a way that they can do it, and it's no hassles. It's a U.S. number. Most of my listeners are in the U.S. It all just seemed to make a lot of sense. But the problem with these things is that there has to be activity at least once every 30 days. And every time there is activity, it extends for another 30 days. And if it's not used in 30 days, actually, they give you a little leeway, you lose the number. That's it, gone. And that's what happened to me that one time. Now, the two political number keeps getting extended because we keep getting these faxes selling Cancun holidays or insurance or something or other. And so that counts, and that extends the phone line for another 30 days. So, I mean, hardly anybody ever rings the line, but it's there in case somebody wants to. And that's the same reason I have one, just in case somebody does want to call. But unfortunately, every once in a while, it gets up to the 30 days, and either I have to call, which is an international toll call, of course, no matter how brief, it's still international, or I can ask somebody in the U.S. to call. And, of course, many people have free minutes on their phones or whatever, and it only takes them 30 seconds to ring the line and take care of it. So for the second or third time, I can't remember now, I put out the call on Twitter and asked people to call my number to keep it alive. And people answered the call, starting with,
"No, not going to send you a message. Get a damn Google Voice number, you stupid Kiwi." Okay, well, I'm not calling all Kiwis stupid. Not all of them.
That was Daniel Brewer. He actually didn't then. He also sent me an invitation for Google Voice. There's one little teeny tiny problem with Google Voice. It's not available to people in New Zealand. It's a bit like Gmail was. I don't know how many people remember this anymore. But Gmail, when it was first introduced, when it was Google Mail, I suppose, was invitation only. And I managed to get an invitation somehow. And when it was first offered to New Zealand. So I always wanted the first people in New Zealand to have a Gmail account. But Google Voice is not available here, and I think that when it is, it's probably going to be restricted to New Zealand phone numbers. And that could be okay, because I could use that for people in New Zealand who want to call the podcast or, and leave me a message or whatever. But I still am going to need something in the U.S., and I have actually toyed with the idea of buying a number with Skype and using that, because there are people I've wanted to interview in the past who don't have... what do you call it? Skype. And having a phone number and the ability to use a phone would be helpful. However, I haven't done that yet. And unless I actually get serious about doing interviews, I think that would be silly. But we'll see. Anyway, on to the next call.
"I'm sympathetic, but I'm not American. Thank you. Thank you for calling."
Well, thank you for that. I'm not exactly sure who it was, or I should say I'm not certain, and so I don't want to say how, because they didn't anyway. However, what that refers to is that in my tweet I said something about a sympathetic American ringing my phone line to keep it alive. So now I feel guilty because here I am in New Zealand and I didn't call, and a non-American called. But anyway, hey, you know, these things happen. And now on to the next call.
"Hi, Art. This is Minori. I hope this helps rescue your phone. I hope this is a U.S. call, too, because you didn't indicate whether we'd be calling you in New Zealand or Christchurch or where. But anyway, I hope this helps rescue your phone, and I hope this works. Bye-bye."
Well, thank you, Minori. She is one of my friends from a long time ago, back when I was an activist in the Chicagos. And we've recently reconnected, really. We've been friends on Facebook for quite a while, I think. Yeah, it must be a while. See, I'm sort of vague about these things. But we have been more active, actually, on Twitter, trading messages. And I often retweet things that she says and so on. And it's been good fun catching up and sort of renewing old ties and that sort of thing. I recently reconnected with another old friend on Facebook. When I actually searched for her on Facebook, and which I don't think I'd done before, looking for somebody that I knew. But I often wondered what happened to her, and so I found her on Facebook, and we reconnected and been, you know, sending messages and stuff, and it's been really good fun, and unexpected, too, in a lot of ways. But I just suddenly had this brainstorm. And I have to say that after all of the bad things I've said about Facebook, once I found this old friend, I thought, no, you know, maybe it's not so bad after all. It all just goes to show it depends on whose ox is being gored, I suppose. But at the very beginning of that, you may have caught that Nanuri called me Art. And Jason does too sometimes, you may have noticed, if you listen to Too Political. And in the old days, many, many years ago, we're talking about the better part of 30 years now, 25 anyway, that's what I used to be called. And there, I reached a point in my life when I decided that I hated the name Art. When I was younger, I used to be so pompous. Not that I'm not now, but I was more pompous then. And I say, Art is the name of a plumber. But not that there's anything wrong with being a plumber. It's just, it wasn't what I was or what I felt I was aspiring to or something. I don't know. At any rate, that's when I started calling myself Arthur again. And I say again because I was called Arthur from birth, obviously, right up until seventh grade, which for my non-American friends is, what would I have been, about 11 or 12, something like that, I guess, around then. And my science teacher decided that he didn't want to write down Arthur, and so he just changed it arbitrarily to Art. And who was I to argue with the teacher? And so it just stuck. And I was called that through the rest of junior high school and high school and university and in my early post-university years as an activist and so on. And then at some stage, I just suddenly started calling myself, not suddenly, started calling myself Arthur again. And I have been ever since. So we're talking about, maybe not 25 years, but probably 20 anyway. Maybe a little bit longer than that. Yeah, it is probably a bit longer than 20, 25 years. That's the outside. So that is what I prefer now. And I do not like the name Art anymore. It's sort of like nails on a chalkboard to me. Nigel sometimes ribs me about it because my family calls me that as well. And he says, well, your family calls you that, and they're my in-laws through marriage now. So why can't I call you that? I want to slap him sometimes. Anyway, on to the next message.
Believe it or not, I'm calling your number. Gonna save you some money today. Hey, I don't know why I'm using the theme song from Great American Hero. Because you're in New Zealand. Anyway, Peter, it's a Seder, and I'm just calling to renew your phone number and save you some money and decide to use a theme song from Greatest American Hero. Because that's me right now. I am the greatest American hero for saving your voicemail. Arthur, I love you, and I love your show. Thank you for all that you do. You have a great day, and talk to you later.
Well, thank you, Seder69. And Seder69 is, of course, the undisputed king and champion of the world when it comes to audio booze. At least those tag 48, anyway. Auntie Vera Charles has recently discovered audio boo as well. And we'll do these little short 30-second ones and so on. The ones that I did were generally about a minute, more or less. I try to keep them to about a minute. I haven't done many at all, and I haven't done any in ages. Maybe I'll get back into that again. I actually thought about that recently, when I was too busy to podcast, I thought, well, maybe I'll just do a boo, except that people listening to the podcast wouldn't know about it necessarily because I don't promote it in any way. It's not connected to my podcast feed or anything. So, you know, you wouldn't necessarily have any way of knowing that they existed. But you can go to my, I don't know what they call it, my, not page exactly, but on Audio Boots, Amerinz, big surprise, Amerinz. And you can subscribe. All you have to do, there's something about the RSS, usually in your browser. You just copy that, and then you go to iTunes, and under Advanced, it's Open Stream. You paste that in there and hit subscribe, and then it will give you all the audio boos that are tagged Amerinz. And if you want to do an audio boo tagged Amerinz, you can do that, and it will go out to everybody who listens to that stream. Well, both of them. I have no idea how many people listen. Don't have any way of knowing. However, Audio Boo also just added this feature where you can record a message just to one person. And you're more than welcome to do that as opposed to calling into the comment line. And you can leave a message there and I will play that on the podcast, unless you tell me not to, of course, which is also perfectly fine. But it's another option, just another way that you can interact with this podcast. Oh, God. Oh, by the way, speaking of social media, one of the things I also recently changed was on Twitter. I took my main account, Ameren's, and made it non-protected or whatever, unprotected, whatever the word is. And so now you can start following me just by following me. You don't have to, I don't have to approve you anymore. So you can go ahead and do that if you want to. I've only had, one little problem with that since I did it. I was added to a list put together by a right-wing nut job who put it under a list called zombies. And he described it as people on Twitter who are members of the religion of liberalism who are just asking for it. Now, I considered that to be moderately threatening, and I ended up blocking him so that he can't include me on his list. But I thought, you know, it's really kind of a sick individual who would go out of their way to harass people because they don't agree with them. I mean, I don't agree with right-wingers. We all know this. This is not a newsflash. But I don't go around following them on Twitter just so I can keep up with what they're doing and make fun of them and to tear them down and all that. I mean, why bother? I don't understand that. Anyway, on with the next message.
Hey, Arthur, this is Brother Santas. I'm coming to your rescue. I wish I had some insurance to sell you, but best I can do is say good morning and have a great day. Talk to you later. Bye.
Thank you, Brother Sinatus. Brother Sinatus has been on my podcast before in my group shows. He was actually recently on the Ramble Redhead show, too, so you can check that out if you want to learn more about him. But that reference to the insurance is, of course, about how we get insurance faxes on Too Political. I wish somebody would fax those to me because that would keep my number alive. But anyway, thank you very much for answering the call. And speaking of calls, let's go on to the next one, shall we? Okay.
Phone number saved.
Now, I'm pretty sure I know who that was, but since they didn't say, I won't reveal it, and I will just say thank you. I believe that's another of my Twitter buddies. You know, these days it's hard to know what to call people. Well, it is anyway, under the best of circumstances. E-friends, e-buddies, I've heard a lot of suggestions over the years. But Twitter buddy seems to be most appropriate these days, since most of the people I interact with online, I interact with on Twitter. Well, those are all of the calls from people who answered the call and came to save my phone line for me. Because they took the time and effort to do that, I felt it was the honorable thing to do was to play all of the messages that I received. However, since then, I received a regular phone message, though, you know, just not answering the call, but an ordinary one. So I'll play that one now.
Hey, Arthur, this is Tom. Just wanted to give you a quick call to let you know I'm a little behind, but I'm catching up with your show, and I heard about that it's your 15th anniversary with meeting Nigel and being in New Zealand. So I thought I'd give you a quick call to say congratulations, and I'm really happy for you both, as you will know. And I just thought I'd call and say hello. So I wish you all the best, and keep up the great work that you do. Okay? Take care. Bye-bye.
Well, thanks for that, Tom. Tom is, of course, the host of the Ramble Redhead Show. Have I ever mentioned that Tom is the only podcaster that I've ever met in real life? I don't think I have. Well, he is. And he's just passed 400 shows, too, by the way. I did mention that last time, I know. Anyway, his show is also the only place I've ever mentioned the full story of how I came to be in New Zealand. And so that actually kind of relates to the topic of that episode that he's mentioning, 15. Now I'm going over to the written comments over at amrenspodcast.com. Stop and think. And that episode was called 15, which is appropriate. And the comment is from Roger Green, who said, "Working theory, Obama's natural reserve is a function of not wanting to be an angry black man, not just in 2008, but for a couple of decades. In other words, your theory and mine are not mutually exclusive. As a business librarian, and even before that, I just never warmed up to partner for romantic relations, popular with my unmarried hetero friends as well as my gay friends. Then again, I hated lover, boyfriend, girlfriend, significant other, POSSLQ, honey, stud muffin, old man, old lady, as well. In other words, I hated all the options, including husband or wife, unless it were true. I've discovered that unmarried heteros also use the spousal terms, and that also made me cranky." Roger, you better be careful or you're going to be yelling at kids to get off my lawn. However, having said that, when I lived in the U.S., I was in the exact same boat. I didn't like any of the terms that were on offer. And it was only when I moved to New Zealand that I started to like partner because it was universally used. It was used by gay and straight alike, married and unmarried alike, almost always in preference to husband and wife for married couples, which I found interesting in itself. But I just really liked the, what's the word I'm looking for, the non-assumption, I suppose, of that term. And so I still kind of like it. And even now, I mean, technically Nigel and I are not husbands because we're not legally married. We're only in a civil union. So I still generally tend to call him my partner. If it were to come up in a way that mattered, I would probably say, I don't know what I would say, how I would put a partner in civil union, or I'm a civil union partner or something like that. I don't know. Like say for a hospital visitation or something like that. I don't know. It hasn't come up yet, so I don't really know. But now this is on to the next episode, 240 Live Stuff, which was, of course, last week's show. And the comment is again from Roger Green, who said, "If I were to podcast, I'd almost certainly need an outline. And you're right, the first 20 minutes sounded very muddy." Thank you, Roger. And believe me, there are times I think I should have an outline. And there are most times when listeners would definitely agree. I actually have been told that the live shows are getting weird, and so I am planning on refocusing those in the new year. I'm not going to do anything on it this year. There's just not enough time left in the year, and the schedule is going to be a bit disrupted with holidays and things. And so I'm going to hold off until the new year for the revised format. But I think it'll be a good one. But I'm not going to say any more about it now, not until I'm ready to publicly announce what I'm doing. The issue with the sound is a whole nother issue in itself. I am still using the setup that Nigel and I rigged up for the Pride 48 marathon, not this year, but last year. So what's that? That's since June of 2009. I've been using the same setup. And while it's fine for the studio stuff and it's okay for the group recordings I do, it doesn't really work very well when I'm just talking to the stream without talking on Skype, and I really don't know why that is. But Nigel's got his system all set up perfectly to do his third colony, and so soon I'm going to be having him reset up my entire system for me, because he can do it. He knows what he's doing. He's my tech god, and he's going to get it all sorted, and hopefully that will, I don't know, fix the problems once and for all. Now, the mic that I use on his live show isn't the same one I use for my studio shows. If longtime listeners might remember that I mentioned that I bought these two paired mics on special at a store that was going out of the Behringer line a long time ago so that I could take them on remote interviews and, you know, have the same mic for me and my guest. Well, I've never used it for that, but I have used it for Nigel's show, because it's small, it's lightweight, it doesn't get in the way, and it has really good sound, I found out. In some ways, I think it's actually better than my studio mic. So that's also a possibility that I might end up using those mics for the show if that is what works best. But we'll see. I just, at this stage, I don't know. I want to improve it. I want to make it better, both in terms of sound and content, and I'm going to be working on that in the new year. Now, for the rest of this year, it's going to be a little bit iffy, because, as I said, I'm not doing a show next week, because it's Thanksgiving, and then I would be back 2 weeks after that. So we're talking about, what, 4 weeks before my next live show. And I don't know. We'll just see. We'll see. We'll see how things go. I'm being a little bit noncommittal with what I'm doing with those, because it probably isn't working for me any better than it's working for people who are listening, to be honest. So I might just want to wait and hold off to see if I can't fix them in the new year. The thing about the live shows, about live shows in general on Pride 48, first of all, there's not enough of them, and I'm trying to get more people to do them, and I hope to be getting more coming on board to do live shows regularly or occasionally at least. But most of the ones that are the most successful and have the most listeners are what you might call general entertainment shows. They're just fun, they're just chatting and carrying on and having a good old laugh and so on. And that's fine. I have absolutely no problem with that. I think that's a great thing. I listen to them when I can. There are usually times I can't listen. But that's not what I do. I want to do something different. And that's been my, I don't know, dilemma or whatever all along. How to fit what I do and what I feel comfortable doing into Pride 48 and into a format that will be interesting for other people. And that's what I've been working on behind the scenes, when I have time, over the past several weeks, and what I'm going to be instituting in the new year. But as I said, I'm not going to say any more about it until I'm ready to go with it, partly because I might change my mind. mean, let's be honest. I change my mind all the time. But that is it for today. That's it for this week. I will be back next week with, I don't know what, but some things. And I've still got more stuff up my sleeve for the future. Now, of course, you can leave a message to on 206-666-5172. That number, of course, is at the end of the podcast and in the show notes and on my website. If you want to have a question or you want to make a comment or you want to tell me to turn the podcast off permanently, that's fine too. I may not play it, but no, seriously, you can do that. You can send me an email. There's a link on my site. You just click on that and it'll connect you to the email machine thing. You can follow me on Twitter, either through Amarin's or Amarin's Podcast. I'm on Facebook. I'm all over the place. And, feel free to play along because it's more fun when people play. But that is it for today. I'll be back next week. Have a good weekend, everybody. Bye. You can leave a comment on this or any other episode of the Amarin's Podcast at amarinspodcast.com. You can send an email to me at Arthur, that's A-R-T-H-U-R, at amarinspodcast.com. Or you can ring my U.S. comment line on 206-666-5172. This podcast is produced and distributed under Creative Commons license. Complete details at the website.